Happy birthday. A happy Tu B'Shvat, everyone.
His birthday.
Bruce's birthday. A happy birthday to Bruce. May you have many more years in health and happiness.
Have a big celebration.
So, indeed, the question I want to deal with today is, why indeed do we say happy Tu B'Shvat? What's so happy about Tu B'Shvat? And that is one of the most stupidest questions you'll ever hear me ask. Because when you tell Jews, it's such a happy day that you can omit Tachanun, the last thing they do is they ask why. What? You're going to omit Tachanun? No, we want to say it. And if it's a Thursday, mouthful. You tell a Jew on a regular Wednesday, when he finishes Chazaret Hashas Kaddish, you can't buy him for $1 million. At that moment, the simcha, the true joy in his heart, amazing. You get him on a Thursday and you say after Chazaret Hashas, the worst magic word. What is it?
Kaddish.
Kaddish. 1,000,005. No one can buy a Jew at that moment. So that is the stupidest question you'll ever hear me ask. Having said that, I'd like to now deal with, what indeed is so happy about Tu B'Shvat? And the answer is right in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says there's a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on the top of the source sheets as to when is the Rosh Hashanah for the trees, which is an interesting question, because what exactly do the trees do on Rosh Hashanah? They say Matana Tokef. What exactly are the trees doing on Rosh Hashanah? They're blowing the shofar, they're eating their apple and honey, but we're not going to go into what Rosh Hashanah means in terms of Trumos and Masros and Orla and all the rest of the laws that have to do with Tu B'Shvat. We're going to deal with why are we happy on Tu B'Shvat. So the Gemara Mishnah says that the Echad B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan according to Beit Shammai, and we passing like Beit Hillel, Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat today. The Gemara asks in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yadal Amun Aleph, my time, what indeed is so special about this date that Beit Hillel says that it's a Rosh Hashanah la'ilanot. Amar Rabbi Oshaya, afal pi sherov tkufot min bachutz, hoil v'yatzu rov gishmi hashanah. Even though it's still cold outside, the majority of rain has already passed, which is another way of saying we're already seeing over the hill the spring. We're already seeing the spring, the summer. It's not here yet, it's still cold. We're already seeing it. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, as was said earlier, in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, Nahagu Shelo Lipol Pnehem B'Tu B'Av Velo B'Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Av is not our topic this morning, but we don't have Tachanun, and the Mishnah Berurah says, Shehu Rosh Hashanah La'ilanot. It indeed is the Rosh Hashanah for the trees. So, we don't have to ask questions if they say, no Tachanun, we're happy. But, having said that, the Gemara says it is the Rosh Hashanah for the trees that has halachic ramifications. We won't deal with that today. I want to deal with why are we happy. So it could be a cutoff date for the tree. It could be a cutoff date for Trumos and Masros. But what does it make us so happy? Why does the Mishnah Berurah says, V'nohagim ha'ashkenazim, those Ashkenazic Jews, laharbot az b'minei peirot shel ilan. People eat fruit on this day. And a little simcha comes about. Yes.
Could have been for clarity. We now know how to allocate the halakhic issue of our taxes, so to speak. We know what the cutoff point is. When we're going to.
Yeah, but see, that's the point. There is a cutoff point for Trumos and Masros and many other things, but why would we have to be the 15th of April? Not Tu B'Shvat, Tu B'April. The 15th of April is the cutoff date for taxes unless you ask for an extension. That's a happy day. People are getting up in the morning. It's tax day! Hell! The night before when they're going over every last receipt they want to give in, they're happy?
You thought it might be April 1st. And they say, no, it's April 15th. Two more weeks.
That doesn't make people happy. That's my point. In other words, it's a cutoff date for many different halachos. But why is it that people are happy? Or a little happy. As we say, a little happy, no tachanun.
You said Ashkenazim. What about Sfardim?
I don't know. The Mishnah Berurah lived in the Ashkenazic world. He talked about the Ashkenazim. There's obviously ancient 16th century. That's how ancient. There's a Seder Tu B'Shvat coming out of Tzvat. The Matzah Shor comes from Ashkenazim Bichlal. Absolutely, Sfardim, Ashkenazim on this issue commemorate Tu B'Shvat. It's a Mishnah and a Gemara as to the cutoff date. Okay. My question is, why are we happy? And here we'd like to say, based on our halachic discussions around this table, I don't want to give any sort of amorphic answer out there. This is not a Dvar Torah. This is halachic. And I want to see halachically, when are Jews happy? Are Jews happy when something great happens? Or are Jews happy when something is about to happen. When they see over the horizon the beginning of the sprouting of something. So let's look together at the chart from Sefer Devarim. That's a book in the Chumash, since you're not following. Sefer Devarim, a book in the, you know, there's five books of Moses. This is the one I can't pronounce in English. How do you say it in English, Devarim?
Deuteronomy.
That's the one. I can't pronounce that one. Leviticus, I got. Took me 10 years. I got it. Okay. Midbar, Numbers, I got. I can't pronounce the Devarim one. Say it again.
Exodus, you
made it sound like messianic.
Yeah, absolutely. So in Sefer Devarim, which is the longest speech that a rabbi ever gave, Moshe Rabbeinu talks at the beginning, ends at the last, right before the last 12 psukim. In his royal mouthful, Moshe Rabbeinu says in Sefer Devarim, at the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo, V'haya Ki Tavo La'aretz, now you know where the name comes from, you're going to come to the land, and you're going to see in your field a bunch of little tiny fruits beginning to
bud.
Right? What do? Maseches Bikurim goes into it. You go down to the field. You take a little bendele, which is Yiddish for a band. You put it around the fruit. You say, this is Bikurim. Eventually, when it sprouts and it's ready, you take it up to the Beis HaMikdash and look at this big, long procedure you have. You give it to the Kohen. You say, I came with my fruits. If you're between Shavuos and Sukkos, you say the whole parshia of Arami, Oved, Avi, which we know from where?
Haggadah.
The Haggadah. We're going to get to Pesach in a few moments. And you say, and now, after all that happened, we were in Egypt, we were taken out, and ultimately I am here and I'm bringing my fruits before God to the Mizbeach, and you bow, and you leave, and beautiful ceremony for what? For one of the Shivat Aminim, one of the seven special fruits of Israel that began to sprout a few weeks before, a few months before, whenever it was. Now, that's for a few fruits. Next parshia, same perek in Sefer Devarim. Ki techalel aser kol ma'asar tevuatecha b'shana shelishit shnat ha'maaser. For Tumot and Masrot, you don't just take a few fruits. There is an actual quantity you need to take. Truma Gadol is anything you want, but the Rabbanon, we have a certain quantity, 1/40, 1/50, 1/60. Then you have Maaser Rishon, you give to the Levi, which is, anyone?
A tenth.
Then you have to give, the Levi gives to the Kohen a little bit. Then you give either Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, depending on the year. You take it, you don't give it. You give it, you either take it, Maaser Sheni, you bring it up to Yerushalayim to eat it, or Maaser Ani, you give to an Ani. And ultimately, in the third year and the seventh year, when you're finished, you do what's called a tally up. And you come before God, and you don't go anywhere, you just say, V'arma talifnei Hashem Elokecha, you come before God, and you say, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayit. God, I did everything you told me to do. And look at these words. I gave the Maaser to the Levi, Lager, Layatom, V'la'almana, K'chol mitzvah chatah, asher tzivitani, lo'avarti me'mitzvotecha, v'lo shachachti. Dear God, I followed the procedure of Trumos and Masros that I have pasted on my refrigerator at home. For those listening outside of Israel, many of us in Israel have that at home because sometimes we go apple picking or cherry picking if our kids are too kvetchy, and then we have to take Trumos and Masros, so we need to know the procedure. And we did the procedure. Beautiful. Where's the big ceremony? No ceremony, just God, I did everything you told me to. God, whatever you said, I did. I fulfilled your commandment. Lo achalti boni mimeno. I didn't eat when I was in a state of aninut. That's the time between a loved one dying and burial. Velo biarti mimeno betameh benon, tati mimeno lameh, shamati b'kol Hashem Elochai, etc. Can anyone tell me, why is it that for a few little figs that we're not even beginning, not even a fig that's edible, but beginning to sprout, you make a huge ceremony. Mikra Bikurim, you bring it up to Yerushalayim, everybody stands up. Whoa, gorgeous. And when you take a large chunk of your fruit, and I'm talking about a large chunk that God said to take, to the Levi, to the Kohen, to the Ani, whatever it is, God, I did everything you said. The finished product gets a little sorry, just a little something, a little mention. The non-finished product, look at this, a royal mouthful. I would like to suggest this is the Jewish way. We Jews are not happy when something's finished. It's beautiful when something's finished. We Jews have a tendency, halachically, to be happy when we begin to see something change. The beginning of something is far greater than the finished product. Because the finished product is what it is. Either it's good or it's bad. Either the apple came out beautiful or it's rotten. There's nothing you can do. But when you see a fig, or when you see a pomegranate that's beginning to sprout, what can you think? What can go through your mind? The potential that this pomegranate, wow, what I can do, if all of them come out beautiful, how much money I can make out of it. And it's not just true with fruit, it's true with everything. A boy is born, a girl is born to a Jewish mother, a Jewish father. They're so happy. Why are they happy? They're going to change diapers and hear a baby cry for the next 2 years of their life. Why are they so happy? Because they have so many dreams for this child. But when the child's 20, 21, he's what he is. You did your best. Either he came out good, or he didn't. He came out okay, or he didn't. We Jews have a tendency to celebrate the potential of something far greater than the finished product. The potential is greater than the finished product, and therefore mikra bikurim. And the whole bikurim is the beginning of the sprouting of those little figs. We Jews are far happier than the finished product when we took all our maaser and all our trumos after 3 years. Now you're all looking at me saying, he made this up. And I'm saying to you, I didn't. Let's look at a few examples in halacha and see if I'm right. You mentioned Pesach. Arami Oved Avi is in the Haggadah. So we come to Pesach and we talk about leaving Egypt. Let me ask you a question. When did the Jews leave Egypt? They did not leave at Chatzos HaLaila. Look in the Psukim in the next source. Vayehi be'etzem hayom hazeh otzia Hashem et b'nei Yisrael merit Yisrael al tzivotam. Bechatzot halayla, what happened? Vayehi b'chatzi halayla v'Hashem yikah kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim. God did makas b'choros at midnight. And then there was a big cry, and then Paro went out in his pajamas to try to find Moshe. There's a song like that. And he went out to find Moshe, and he told him, get out, everything you wanted, just get out, get out, get out. What do you think? They got out within 2 seconds? They had to pack. Yes, they didn't have time to bake their bread. They went out in a haste, but they left the next morning. They didn't leave at night. So let me ask you a very simple question. How come we Jews go ahead and celebrate a Seder, and we do everything that we do, preferably before Chatzot? Let's just say Chatzot started the whole redemption. There was Makas Becharos, Paro in the pajamas, went out to say Moshe, it started at Chatzos. What do? The Gemara in Meseches Pesachim talks about the Korban Pesach and talks about Matzah, which is Hukash the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Yezer ben Azariah's opinion is that you have to finish by Chatzot, and Rabbi Akiva says until Alot HaShachar, and ultimately, how does the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Lachar Gmar Kol HaSuda Ochlimi Matzah, Zecher LePesach HaNeechal LaSova, that's the Afikomen. Continue. But nothing happened, called them chatzot. Before midnight, nothing happened. They were still slaves in the slave clothing in Egypt under Paro. So why is it that today we celebrate this big, wonderful Seder, preferably before chatzot? Should I take my question and make it even worse? Says the Ramah, based on the Ran, that all the mitzvot of the night should be finished before Chatzot. All the Arba Kosot, meaning Hallel, up until Chatzot. You can still Khad Gadja after Chatzot. You can say the Piyut Uvechein Vayehi B'Chatzi Alayla at Chatzi Alayla. But preferably, everything should be finished before Chatzot. So therefore, ultimately, the true halachic way to do it, according to the Ramah, is the next morning, you come to shul, and what does everyone ask? How long was your Seder? The answer should be, up until midnight. Midnight cutoff point. But my question is, why? Everything started after Chatzot. What's my answer? Even before Chatzot, they started to see the Egyptian empire and their servitude have cracks in them. And that's what we're celebrating. We're not celebrating the redemption. We're celebrating the beginning of the sprouting of the redemption that we see over the horizon. Because even before Chatzot, there were cracks. The Egyptians already said, let the people go. The advisors of Paro said, let the people go. Yes, he hardened his heart, but they were beginning to see cracks. And therefore, to this moment, our celebration is not so much leaving Egypt, it's the hope that this will change. The hope of the potential of the future is far greater than the finished product.
So technically speaking, on the 10th, when we took the Karban Pesach, it's really the beginning of our Gelul, we should have the Seder on the 10th.
Indeed. Is that a Hava Amina in the Gemara?
I don't know.
I think you do know. Go back to your Seder, Avotim Hayinu, blah, 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 blah. No, Yachol Meirosh Chodesh. What do you think the Hava Amina was? That's exactly the Hava Amina. Since the sprouting started earlier, maybe we should start the Seder earlier in the month of Nisan. And the Gemara says, no, we have a Gzerat HaKatov, but that's a good Hava Amina based on what we're saying. Since the sprouting started earlier, maybe then it should be. And let's just buttress what I said. The Tosefta in Maseches Pesachim has a very interesting machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Same Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel we started our shir with Tu B'Shvat. Ad Heichan Hu Omer. When you say Hallel at the end of Magid, everyone agrees you have to. What's the cutoff point? Everyone agrees you have to. Everyone agrees no bracha. Everyone agrees you don't say the whole Hallel. But what's the cutoff point? See, every time you learn a machlokas in the Gemara, first talk about everything they agree on. Then you can talk about what they disagree on. So Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree there's a Seder. They agree it's Pesach. They agree that you have to say Hallel at the end of Magid, and they agree that the Hallel is abridged. Namely, you say the rest of it after you eat the Afikomen. So how much do you say? Beit Shammai ad Ema Banim Smecha. The first perek of Hallel. Halleluka, Halleluka, Avdei Hashem, etc. Ema Banim Smecha. Everyone remember? Halleluka. What don't you say? B'tzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Beit Hillel Omer, no, ad Chalamish Lomayin Omayim. You say the first and the second paragraph of Hallel, but more importantly for us, you say B'tzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim, when the Jewish people left Egypt. What do you think Beit Shammai is now going to say to Beit Hillel? Armo Beit Shammai le Beit Hillel. V'chi kvar yatzu shemaskirin yetzias Mitzrayim? How can you talk before Chatzot about Betzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim, if on this day, back in Egypt, we were still in Mitzrayim? Imagine the Jews are sitting in Mitzrayim, and they're saying, when the Jews left Egypt, what do you mean left? We were here! So if you're trying to reenact what was, how do you say it before Chatzot, and how do you say it before they left? Amru lehem Beit Hillel. Afilu hu mamtim at krota gever, or ilu yatzu at shei sha'ot payom, hayecho omeret gulav adayim lo nagalu. Said Beit Hillel, what are you talking about, Chatzot? The Jewish people left 6 hours into the day of Pesach. Says Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. You could say here, Beit Seit Yisrael, Mei Mitzrayim, whatever you want. Before Chatzot, after Chatzot, they're still in Egypt. Namely, why do we say B'tzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim? Why do we thank God? Not so much for leaving Egypt, but for the potential we already saw that we're about to leave Egypt. And therefore, before they even left, already they're saying Hallel. So the first example I gave to prove my point that we ultimately celebrate the potential of, but not so much the finished product, is the difference between Bikurim, which has a large ceremony, and the finished product of Trumos and Masros, when you do Bi'ur Masrot, when you say to God, I did everything I needed to, has a small ceremony. The second example is the Seder. We do everything before Chatzot, because before Chatzot nothing really happened, but we saw the sprouting, the potential about to happen, the cracks in the servitude. Now let's go to the opposite of Pesach. Pesach is a happy time, and we eat a beautiful Seder, but right before we eat the meal, there's an Ashkenazi custom, and this, Harold, is an Ashkenazi custom written in the Ramah to have an egg dipped in salt water. Sorry. As if you're not going to eat enough eggs over Pesach, we put that in as well. Why? Here's. Says the Ramah, because every year, inevitably, Tisha B'Av comes out on the same night as Pesach. And here we are at the Seder. You have to remember it. So I went from Pesach to Tisha B'Av, following suit.
What? Maybe you can have, I mean, B'chol Yom Anachem Mekakeh, you know, maybe the full Kulul Kamashi or whatever the Beis Mikdash should be built by the time Tisha B'Av comes. So how can you anticipate that you're going to have a Tisha B'Av when you might not? It might be a Moed.
Oh, we'll get to that now. The Shulchan Aruch says, with regard to Tisha B'Av, since I saw Pesach Tisha B'Av, so I went right to Tisha B'Av. And Yomrim Tchina Erev Tisha B'Av B'Mincha, you don't say Tachanun on Erev Tisha B'Av B'Mincha, Mishum De Ikrei Moed. Ve'imu Shabbat, as is going to be this year, Ein Yomrim Tzitkatcha, the Shulchan Aruch says, on Tisha B'Av, ain't omrim tachanun, the ain't oflim al pnehem, mishum de mekre moed. So, you come to a Jew on Tisha B'Av, guess what? No tachanun, Kaddish. Ah, it's wonderful, it's Tisha B'Av, thank God. What's so happening? How's Tisha B'Av a moed all of a sudden? I'd like to suggest, and I can suggest many different answers, the following. The Levush. The Levush wrote a book called The Levush. Close. And he says like this, Kol Yamai Tamheti. Imagine, what did you think about your whole life, Bruce? He thought about this his whole life. Listen to what he thought about. Kol Yamai. His whole life, the man is morning and night thinking about this. Kevan Shenogim Likrot Eicha B'Tzibur. Since we ultimately read Eicha in a minyan, in his time, they even made a bracha al mikra megillah. Madua lo nagu be'echa kemo be'megillah lichtov oto al klaf bifnei atzmo kedin kol asfarim shetzichim latzeit be'em yedei chovatam b'tzibur. Se asks the Levush, how come we don't have a klaf, a proper megillah like we have on Purim for Eicha? Listen to his answer. Beautiful answer. There was no sofer that was used to writing Eicha. Interesting answer. The sofer know how to write Megillas Esther, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Sifrei Torah. Eicha, that they don't know. Why? Mishum she'anu mechakim u'mitzapim b'chol yom, Harold, shem ye'afek lanu yom zeh to what? L'sason u'lesimcha u'lemoeit. V'im hayu kotvim Megillat Eicha, if you would take a klaf and make Eicha, it's like saying, we're going to have a Tisha B'Av this year, next year, the year after, nothing's going to change. Stories are legendary about Rav Soloveitchik. He refused to ever use a hard-covered kinos book. He said that was not the minhag in Europe. The minhag in Europe was to use soft-covered books, put them in gniza, because you won't need them next year. And if there's a need, well, we print. Imagine. Yes. Says the Levush, why is Tisha B'Av called the Moed? Simply because we know that on Tisha B'Av was the beginning, as ironic as this sounds, the beginning of our redemption. And there's a famous Midrash, Midrash Zuta, that says, Oto ayom shenichnesu ayvim la'ir v'yachlivu b'beit ha-mikdash, on the day that they came in and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Tisha B'Av, Hayachutz Yerushalayim Yehudi Echad Choresh B'machsharta. There was a little Jew outside Jerusalem who was threshing his field. He didn't know the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. There was no Tisha B'Av on the calendar yet. And all of a sudden, the story goes on. He sees that his cow doesn't want to work, and he hits the cow. The cow's crying, and God comes out from heaven, or a voice comes out and says to him, what's the matter with you? He tzoeked al churban habayit v'al HaMikdash nisraf hayom. What do you want from the cow? He's crying. He's in Avelus. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So, the man understands he made a mistake. Shama ha'ish miyad karat gadav. The person heard the terrible news, probably said Dayan Ayemet, and ripped his clothing. That's, let's say, 10 o'clock in the morning. Excuse me, Tisha B'Av. They started Le'et Erev. So let's say it's towards the evening. So towards the evening, he rips his clothing. All of a sudden, the day's not over. La'char betel gimel shalt, after 2 or 3 hours, amda para aragla v'aragda v'samcha. The same cow gets up and starts dancing. How the cow dances, I don't know, but the Midrash says the cow dances. Obviously, the Midrash is giving us an idea. It didn't literally happen. Tamu ha'ishmael, the person was very confused. I mean, this guy is an avelus. Why is he getting up to dance? Shama kol omer ta'on v'chrosh. Go and continue threshing your field. Why? Ki b'sha'a zot nolad Mashiach. On this Tisha B'Av, on this day when I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, is the beginning of the final redemption. Mashiach was born. That's the famous, famous words you know. Mashiach nolad b'Tisha B'Av. Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. As you could see, even Tisha B'Av, a very, very sad, bleak, black day. If there's a potential, if we could see the crack, if we read the psukim in Zechariah da Perek Chet, that indeed on this day it will be one day a yantif, as a son of a simcha yamim tovim, we celebrate a bit. No tachnun. We call it a moed. So we saw Pesach, how we celebrate the potential and not so much the finished product. We saw Bikurim versus Vidui Masros, and now we see even Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the year, a little celebration because there's a potential. And let's go to the last particular example I have. Shavuos. Shavuos is when on the calendar?
6 or 7.
6 of Sivan. Gemara and Shabbos doesn't know. Sechet Shabbos daf pei vav amud bet Tana Rabbanan b'shisha b'chodesh nifnu l'aseret adibrot liYisrael Rabbi Yosi omer b'shiva bo. So this week's parsha is parshat
Yitro.
We're going to read about Har Sinai. We're going to read about this event. When did it happen? So everyone agrees it happened b'chodesh hashlishi, which we know as Sivan, because that's what it says in the Torah. We don't take psukim out of the Torah like other. I won't say, but let's just say what they call streams of Judaism. We think the psukim in the Torah should stay there. And ultimately, it says, v'chodesh ha-shlishi. In Sivan, the Torah was given, but we don't know if it was the 6th or the 7th. Big machlokas, we won't go into it. What are we passing in the halacha?
6.
Shulchan Aruch says, v'yom chamishim l'sfirat ha-omer, 6th of Sivan, shehu chag ha-shavuot, v'seder ha-tfilat kemel b'yom tov shel Pesach, ela shomrim, et yom chag ha-shavuot, sazeh, zman matan toratenu. Asks the Magen Avraham, how do you say it's Yom Matan Torateinu, the day of the giving of the Torah? Halo kai malan ki Rabbi Yossi, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, de'amar b'zayin v'sivan ditna Torah. So if you're lucky enough to be in Chutz La'aretz on Shavuos, you have a two-day yantiv, on Zayin Sivan you say Zman Matan Torateinu, no problem. But if you're in Israel and you only have one day of Shavuos, and even in Chutz La'aretz on the first day, you're saying Zman Matan Torateinu, it's not! The Torah was not given. Answers the Kedushas Levi. Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev. The Maharal says exactly the same thing. A beautiful piece in his book Kedushas Levi. Lesha Taretz Kushiyata Magen Avraham Betuv Tam Vedat. I can answer the question of the Magen Avraham. Betuv Tam Vedat. I can't translate those words. They're so beautiful. He says, Dihinezi Yadur Ma'amar Chachameinuza. Diyom Echad Osif Moshe Medato. In other words, God said, get ready for giving the Torah on Vav Sivan. And Moshe added another day. We won't go into why he added another day, but he did. Says the Kedushas Levi, Rav Yevi Yitzchak. V'hine ma sh'amar Kodesh Baruch Hu kayam la'ad. U'v'da'ato haya litena Torah li'Yisrael b'shisha b'sivan. Rak sh'moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom osim yom echad mida'ato. Aval ha'hara gdola mikabalat ha'Torah ha'ikar haya b'shisha b'sivan. What's the ha'hara gdola mikabalat ha'Torah? Beginning to see that God will give us the Torah, beginning to see the potential of how our life is going to be a Jewish lifestyle, which will change dramatically because of the giving of the Torah. It will be a kedoshified lifestyle. It will be a lifestyle of sanctity. Everything we do will be part of our religious experience, from the way we eat and what we eat, to the way we talk and what we talk about. Everything. They already felt the excitement when?
Six.
The sixth. Since the excitement was there, says the Kedushas Levi, Nimtza muchach de'beshisha b'sivan ayu muchanim lekabel ha-Torah. And thus, what do we celebrate? And in Israel, we only celebrate not on the day they got the Torah, but the day they were ready to receive the Torah. Just like on Pesach, when do we celebrate? When they saw that they were ready to get out of Egypt and there were cracks. When God was ready to give the Torah, we celebrate, not when He actually gave it. So as you could see, we gave today 4 examples that the potential is far greater than the finished product. Mikra Bikurim versus Vidui Masros. Pesach, everything done before Chatzot, even though nothing happened before Chatzot. The potential greater than the finished product. Tisha B'Av, we're abyssally happy because there were cracks in our exile. Mashiach was born. This day will turn into a yontif. And finally, Shavuos, when do we celebrate? On the day we were ready to receive the Torah, even though we didn't get it yet. The potential far greater than the finished product. And now you can understand why is it the Torah makes a big deal, not just about Bikurim, the beginning of the sprouting of the Shiva Saminim in your field, but about all the beginnings. Does anyone know what a Bechor means? Firstborn. There's a Bechor Adam, the firstborn male of a mother. There's a Bechor Behema Tahora. There's many Bechorim Reshit Hagez. Many of the firsts, the Torah says, is different than the rest. Why is the firsts so important? Says the Maharal, Defisha'in Rayu Likadesh Taktavashu, who Reshita Mitziyut, who Mitzachu Reshita Mitziyut, who Kadosh Me'asher Nimtza Acharav. Every beginning, we could see we have dreams about. The little baby's born, we say, wow, what this baby could do, amazing. But once he's 20, the game is over. Once he's 30, whatever he is, he is. But when he's a little baby, and he can't do anything, he's useless, we have all these dreams, the potential that could be. Therefore, in my humble opinion, Tisha B'Av is a day that warrants Lo Tachanun. Because nothing happened on Tisha B'Av. Yet. Not Tisha B'Av. Nothing happened on Tu B'Shvat. Yet. But the potential's there. Most of the rain is over. We're beginning epis to see the spring over the horizon. We celebrate the potential, not the finished product. The trees, Hashkedi Aporachatz, beginning to sprout. That's it. No fruits yet. Nothing. No grapes in the store yet. But we're beginning to see the sprouting. We celebrate in consistency with all the other celebrations in Jewish law, in which we celebrate the potential and not so much the finished product. Because the potential is all the dreams that Mirtza Hashem will happen. The finished product happened already. And that's what we celebrate in Judaism. Well,